Got everybody? Who's back there, Brittany? Okay, I think we got everybody. Well, welcome. Welcome to Women of God. This is our every other discipleship time. I think everyone has been here. Carol Myers with us. She's up here in front. She's John's wife and very, very close, good friend of mine for many years. And they're visiting from Fort Collins. And they'll be over on the east with us tomorrow. So Carol's with us. It's good to have her. Good to have all of you guys. Thanks for making this choice. Trust that God is going to meet us here, and where we're individually at, God is going to use this time to stir our hearts. That's what I've been praying. I've been praying that God would do his good work. And it's a choice to show up and expect that from the Lord, isn't it? It's one thing to show up. And that sometimes is about all the energy we have. How many of you just feel like I just showed up, Kath? Sure, I think a lot of us just feel like I just showed up. But there's another step I think that we can take, and that next step is showing up and trusting that God is going to refresh you and God is going to give you what you need. And I think that's a step that we all want to take, right? We don't want to leave here and feeling the same or in the same spot as when we came. We want God to do something. So let's pray together and ask the Lord. I have a few things I want to share, some things that I've been wrestling out in my own heart, some things that I've been thinking through that hopefully God will use in your life too. Maybe a couple of us could pray. Jen, you want to start and I'll finish. A couple of us, go ahead. Amen, God. I agree with that, Lord. We do bring our hearts before you, God. That is a choice that no one can make except me, whether I bring my heart before you, whether I open my heart up and my spirit up to hear from you. God, I choose that this morning. I pray that you would give us the grace to all choose that this morning. God, we invite you to interfere with our lives. God, we invite you to encourage and even to reprove and even to redirect and even to bring anything that you want, God. That's what we want to hear. I thank you, Lord, that you've called us to yourself and that you have good. I pray that we would believe that as we hear these things this morning. We lift this all up to you in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it might be a little challenging hearing with the wind and the, I can hardly hear a little bit of even the prayers from here. So hopefully we're mic'd and we'll do well. These are a couple of things that maybe in the last 4 to 6 months that I've been thinking about that God has been kind of processing with me. A lot of this kind of came around and came to fruition in a Bible study that our small group was doing. And this Bible study is called Holy Ambition by Chip Ingram. I think a couple of different small groups have done a couple of different things by him. And we started this. There's several gals here on my small group, and we were thinking that maybe we had started this in June. And this is his book, Chip Ingram, and he has a video series that goes along with it. And it's Turning God-Shaped Dreams into Reality. That's the subtitle of it. Here are a couple things that he said straight out the gate. Chip Ingram tells us that there are different groups of believers. One is, do you guys have handouts? Viv, can you do that for me? And this is not on your handout, so you don't need to fill in anything yet. Have you basically given up on God? Or are you willing to consider that God might have a bigger plan for you than you can see or imagine? Another set of groups that he defined is a group of believers that said, will you just live with your doubts, fears, or will you trust that God can show himself amazingly faithful if you give him an opportunity? Okay, so these were a few things. And, of course, I'm like, no, I don't want to just live in where I'm at. I don't want to live in my fears, and I want to trust God for bigger things. I mean, I was kind of on board for this. He goes on, he says in his book, the way you answered these questions will indicate whether or not a seed of holy ambition is already planted in you. You want something more in your Christian life. You want your life to make a difference for God. You want to experience exactly what God meant when he announced, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You know you have life, but what you're hungry for is the abundant part. You're really fed up with being a part of a Christianity that claims to be alive, but appears sluggish at best. You're tired of being a part of a Christianity that claims to be life-transforming, but all too often looks nothing more than like a religious subculture that promises much but delivers little. So I read this, I'm like, yeah, that's right. This is not good, what we're doing. And I'm, you know, my heart is given easily to crazy things, and I'm kind of stirring with this. But there's a little red flag in me like, wait, do I believe that? Is that where I fall? Is this true of my life, of Christianity, of how I feel about things? And so I'm a little like trying to find my place in this intro of this study. He goes on, it's time for holy ambition. It's time for action. It's time for Christians to live like Christians, for a church that shakes the world, for a people of God who make a difference. It is time for us to be what God has called us, people who will let him do a powerful work in and through them, people who have an intense faith and a spiritual passion that is called holy ambition, people who have discovered what it takes to make a difference for God. Okay? So again, I'm kind of, okay, I'm tracking this, I'm thinking this. And he starts going through examples in the video and in the book. Here are some examples of people taking what the passion on their heart and doing great things for God. And he talks about an older couple that was burdened. They were in a mall, and they were seeing all these teens hang out at the mall, and they were burdened by this. And these people wanted to reach the world for the Lord, and so they came up with this idea to buy a kiosk, to rent out a kiosk. And this kiosk would be God Talk, I think, or something like that. And this went national. And there are God Talk kiosks. This ministry went national of God Talk kiosks all over our nation that are currently happening because this couple had a holy ambition. Okay? Talks about another young woman named Angie Thompson. She took a short-term mission trip to Romania. She was burdened by the thousands of kids living on the street, taking shelter in sewers, dying of hunger, disease, and neglect. She birthed a shelter in Romania called City of Hope, and now there is an orphanage with it. Pretty big deal, right? Pretty cool, pretty good story. Of course, I'm trying to fit myself into this world. Like, wow, what a lame-o I am. You know, this is the real deal. This is really God working and people really being stirred. Did an example of Susan B. Komen. Susan B. Komen of the breast cancer campaign, and he talked about how many, hi Adriana, he talked about how many pink ribbons we see all over our nation, right? How many pink ribbons on stuff, and everybody knows a pink ribbon, and you know what it stands for, and it was all because this one woman had a holy ambition, had a deep passion, and made a move. So at this point, I'm struggling, because I'm feeling pretty down about my life. And I'm feeling pretty down about my husband and all these kids that are dragging me down from doing something exciting. And I'm feeling pretty down about all kinds of things in this scenario that aren't freeing me up to do what this book is calling me to do. Okay? A couple of things he said in there. Do you want to fulfill the destiny God has for you? God wants to get behind you to fulfill your destiny. I did have problems with that statement straight out the gate, but okay. But what I came down to and wrestled through was week one, question one that we went through as a group was, if God gave you an unlimited check to do anything for him, what is the passion on your heart that you would do? That was the week one. And we went around the circle and we said straight out the gate all kinds of interesting, cool ideas of what we would do if God gave us an unlimited check. Okay? Again, I'm walking with the Lord. I'm processing this on the river. I'm going through my quiet times. I'm trying to engage, and I'm struggling. I'm struggling with how this translates to me. Okay? What I came up with is the more important question is not what is the desire that I have on my heart? The more important question is, what does God have on his heart? What is on God's heart? That is what I should be thinking and contemplating and pondering, okay? And what I realized with walking with the Lord and processing is that God has already put a clear calling on my life. God, and the Word has already put a calling on my life. A couple of verses that had been in my truth pack for months that I had been kind of running through. These are kind of big picture verses. These are kind of what God's calling us to, big picture. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal you and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons of God's service. That's an amplified, okay? So right there he says, Paul is saying, I beg you, I implore you to lead a life worthy of what God has called you to. Okay, Ephesians 5:2, very similar. Live a life of love, following the example of Christ, who loved you and gave himself up for you as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Again, there, those verses are kind of big picture verses of that God's calling us to lead this life. And here's where I landed on this whole process. A couple of things, and I even wrote them in my truth pack, is I don't need to go out and create a different ministry. God has already given me a ton of ministry opportunity that he has put into motion in my daily life. I need to fully engage in ministering within the definition and boundaries that God has already put on my life. I need to give my heart and my attention to these things. The Lord reminded me that even in the creation of woman, he brought good into this world. And that I need to bring that good into my life where the Lord has drawn my circles, how he's already given me things. He wants to express himself through me in the spheres that he's already given me. So that's kind of where I was thinking crazy. I mean, I was thinking, my brain tends to be a idea generator for good or bad. It doesn't matter. I just generate ideas. And I was starting to think big, and there were things that were being shared in Sunday morning service and small groups that I was before the Lord on, thinking through. I think at that time Stephen was doing some talking on kind of this thing like investing your life and where you're investing your life, and I was thinking long and hard about this stuff. And I was ready to do something like Chip Ingram would call a holy ambition. I was open to that idea. But the Lord just kind of settled me and said, I've already put into motion in your life. I've already drawn circles. And until you can tell me that you're fully engaged in everything that I've given you already, and that those are all up and going, and all you're excelling in all those things, then we'll talk about a new area of your life. So he laid out six areas. He laid out six areas, one down the river. I came home, opened up my truth pack, and just wrote them down, just boom, boom, boom. And I'm going to go through those areas, but not in order. And I'm going to do some general ones that we all have, and then we'll kind of come down to a few specifics. But the one thing that I think is very important is these things depend on the season in your life, don't they? These circles that we draw, the people that are in our circles, it really depends on the season of your life. If you're a single, that looks a certain way, the ministries that God's called you to, the areas that he's asked you to engage in. If you're a mom, that looks a particular way. If you're a student, that looks a particular way. If you're an empty nester, that looks a particular way. And so these things change, and I'll try to give a little testimony of how some of them, I feel like I just fight them all the time. I know that God's called me to him, but I'm fighting to fit him into my world. I have a heart for it, but I just, if I do get it going, maybe it's for a season and something happens. You know how that feels, right? You get something going for a season. You're like, this is awesome. I'm doing the right thing. And then whatever, you stub your toe and you can't walk. And it's like, I can't do it without walking, Lord. And you know, it ends up not happening. We're all like that. We go through, I call it a rhythm. We get in these rhythms, and I love to talk about and think about having a rhythm of obedience to the Lord, getting into a rhythm, getting into a pattern of obedience and walking in these things. And sometimes I was just talking to one of my kids about, I was talking to KJ this morning about you got to find your rhythm. You know, she's taking college classes now. You got to kind of find a rhythm in that of how to live and everything God's called you to. So I'm going to go through these areas, and they are not in order. I'm going to do the general ones first. Some of them are real obvious. Some of them you know about. Some of them I just want to share the things that God laid on my heart. The first area, and this is in order, this is number one for all of us, no matter what, my relationship with my God. Okay? And that is number one. God says, that is a holy ambition. I've already called you to prioritize this. There are a couple of verses there. We know, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Think about that. Think about that verse. We all know that. That's in Memory Madness. We've trained our children in that. We hear that at least once a month in some setting. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Do you have that up and going? Is that in a good spot that you can go, check, done, got that going? No, that's something we all need to pursue. Is there anything more important in life than to pursue what God has said is the most important thing, to love him with all your heart? What would that look like? I even have stepped out of that a little bit. What would that look like to love the Lord with all my heart, and it says all your mind? What would it look to be totally occupied with the Lord in your mind? A couple other verses that the Lord laid on my heart, living out an Ezra heart. Do I have a verse there? Someone want to read that verse? Ezra 7:10. Okay, living out an Ezra heart. Underline the word devoted. Devoted himself to the study, to obeying it, and to teaching it. It's a good life. That's a holy ambition, isn't it? Is there a full picture in that one verse of what God's called us to? Next one, consistently take in the word. Evening and morning and afternoon. Psalm 55, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. And one thing I've been trying to practice, and I like that word just in biblical disciplines and trying to get a rhythm in your obedience, one thing I've been trying to practice is literally evening, literally morning, and literally afternoon. Three times a day, taking in something from the word right before I lay down for a nap, right before I go to bed, right when I get up in the morning, and just trying to saturate my heart, try to saturate my word, or try to saturate my mind with that. And so that's a wonderful, beautiful thing to pursue. Beautiful thing. One spirit, one with the Lord in spirit. Does someone want to read that verse? 1 Corinthians 6:17. Okay. One in spirit with him. Do you ever feel like you've experienced that, where you've been one in spirit with the Lord? Where you've been in such communion with him that you're one in spirit? That verse tells me that I can experience that, right? That verse tells me that there is a possibility of me walking in such a way and living in such a way to be one in spirit with him. The next one, God has called me or you into fellowship with his son. That's his calling on our life, is to have fellowship with his son. Does someone want to read that verse, 1 Corinthians 1:9? So we're called into fellowship with the Lord. So right there, that's the number one. That's what we're all called to do. If we can put a check on that, if we can go, yep, that's completely up and going, then there's other areas that we can take on in our life. And again, I don't think anybody in this room would say you could put a check on that. I wouldn't say I could put a check on that. It's something I regularly pursue. But what a good, noble calling, and what a good, noble thing to give our lives to. The next one I'm going to call, and this is for all of us, I'm going to call my resources, my good deeds. God has called all of us to this, to use our resources to do good deeds in this world. Here are a couple verses. 1 Timothy 2:9 and 10. It says, I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, adorning themselves, not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. Now, I've always kind of focused on the do's and don'ts of the modesty part of that. Okay, that's always kind of been the reference that I've processed that verse under. Recently, I've really appreciated the last part of that verse, that we would dress ourselves with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. So there is this group of women in the world that profess to worship God. We would be marked by, our lives would be marked by, we would be dressed by good deeds. That's kind of what God's saying there, right? And so all of us are called to that. And we're called to that at a pretty extreme level. We're going to look at another verse. At the same time, I was meditating on this verse in 1 Timothy, this next one down. And I don't know why, but there were several phrases in that verse that were really hitting me. I was like, this is a verse about widows. So I have no idea why I was on this, but it was in my truth pack. I was thinking about this. I was really processing some of these phrases in this. This is an Amplified. Does someone want to read that? 1 Timothy 5, 9, and 10. Okay, so that verse seems like I shouldn't quite be there yet. I'm not in the widow. I'm not checking the list of whether I'm going to get church support, right? So it seems like God hasn't called me to that yet. But there are several things in that verse that I found very applicable to my world. This woman that he is saying, hey, let's take this widow, and this widow, let's make sure we support, okay? There is a mark on her life. There is something that she is known for. I put on there, it says, she must have a, in Amplified, it says, she must have a reputation for good deeds. Okay, definition of reputation is a widespread belief that someone or something has a particular habit or characteristic. So this woman needs to be known for, have a reputation for doing good deeds. Of course, that's super challenging. Am I known for that? Is that my reputation with people? Do people, when they think of Kathleen Nelson, do they think of that woman is a woman that is marked by good deeds? Very challenging, isn't it? Okay. She must be well known for doing all sorts of good things. That's in another translation. Another translation says, people should tell about the good things she has done. People should talk about the good she has done. Another one, she must be known as a woman who has done good deeds. So all of us are just called into this. We profess to worship God. We're women that worship God. So our lives should be marked by good deeds. Then I think, okay, well, what would it take? How much energy and effort and mental work to be that woman, to make sure my life is being marked that way? I like the word, there's another word in there, a synonym for, it says in there, it says, she has devoted herself diligently to doing good in every way. Okay, I looked up synonyms on devoted, see if I could find anything else that I liked. And there is the word, she must occupy herself. Isn't that good? To be occupied with doing good works. That's challenging, isn't it? I mean, versus social media, being occupied with social media, being occupied with running errands, being occupied with all kinds of things, movies, being occupied with all this stuff, that we can occupy ourselves with doing good works. I'm plenty challenged already. What about you? Right? There's a lot here already that God has given in my life and called me to. And so you can understand where I'm at with this holy ambition guy telling me to come up with something big when I'm looking at all these, I would call them fundamental circles that God has given me, and I'm like, I don't got that one up and going, and I don't got that one up and going, and we're going to go on. There's more, okay? And again, I'm not trying to make us feel bad. I'm just, my heart is for us to realize we have a holy ambition to live within all that God has called us to on a daily basis already. Already is my word for the morning. Already. He's already given us that, okay? Okay, the next one I'm going to talk about is my church family, the Rio. Okay, what does God call us to in the Rio? What should be our heart for the Rio? What, you know, this little family of believers that we're all running with, this little band of people that are broken and messy like me and got issues like me, how should I feel about them? What should be the mark in my life about the Rio? Do I just attend the Rio? Does God have more for me being a part of the Rio? Here's our verse, Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Okay? Of course, the word there, especially. So my life should be marked by good deeds, but I should especially do good deeds to the Rio, to the people of the Rio. Very interesting, very challenging for me to really work in my head a little bit. Definition of especially, okay? You guys see I like words, and this is how I meditate. I like go try to find words that I like, and words I don't like, I push those out, and I bring these in, right? Okay, so definition of especially, to single out one person, thing, or situation over all others. So God tells me, Kathleen Nelson, your life should be marked by good deeds. And it should be, Kathleen, especially marked by good deeds to you ladies. Isn't that cool? You guys get to be the recipients of all this good fruit in my life. To do especially good to you guys, because you're in my family of believers. And that's what God's called us to. There is a strong emphasis, if you've been around the Rio a long time, there's a strong emphasis on the Great Commission. And we all know the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. There's a strong emphasis around here on that, isn't there? Of reaching the lost and going out in the world. But I think about, is there a strong emphasis on doing good to the body of believers? And what the Lord brought to mind was at the end of John 21, you guys know this little scenario. He's talking to the disciple, and he kind of starts going at him. Do you love me? Is it to John? Is he talking to John? Huh? Peter. He's talking to Peter. Okay. Do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. And what does he say to him? Feed my sheep. Goes at him again. Do you love me? I think he even says, do you truly love me? Peter's exasperated. Lord, you know I love you. What's he tell him? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, care for my sheep, care for my people. This is what he gives them at the end, is this is on my heart. This is the body of believers. And you can think about all the teachings that you've heard about the body of believers. But the one thing that I'm just kind of stuck on is, Kathleen, is your life marked by doing good, especially to the Rioites, especially to them? Extending myself, drawing my circle around them. And me and one of my girls were talking about, all the different scenarios in our church. There's a lot of different scenarios here. There are people working. There are people going to school. There are people in the military. There are people in med school. There are single moms. There are mothers. There are grandmas in our midst, right? Everybody has this season of life, right? And we were just talking about the challenges of applying all this. And we were talking about the Rio. And my daughter said, she brought up, she goes, you know, Taylor Sinnott, she goes, you know, she's drawn her circle, and her circle has included the Rio. Her circle in particular has included the children of the Rio. And my daughter said, I don't know her very well, but I know the little Nelson kids know her and feel loved by her. And so here's Taylor. She's in med school and doing her world, which we would all say legitimately is crazy busy, right? And yet she's drawn her circle, and in her circle is the Rio. And there are several women in this room that has drawn a beautiful circle and included the Rio as God has it. That's how? Okay, thanks. Okay, so that's the synonym, or my church family. A couple things there. Synonyms for especially: extremely, outstanding, exceedingly. So our life should be marked by exceedingly good deeds to the body of believers, to the Rio. Okay? Discipling at every meeting, in every conversation. And what you need to do there, and what I have been challenged to do, is have the word ready on my lips. No matter who I'm talking to, the word is ready. I think you gals know I do very little meeting weekly with anybody. I don't meet weekly with anybody on a weekly consistent basis except my own kids. But I really try to have a heart to disciple at every meeting, every time I go to Sunday morning, to encourage someone, every time I go to small group, every time I come up and clean the church, if I do it with someone else, if I see someone else. Sometimes I'm just brain dead and I just walk in like, hey. And that's about all you get out of me is not much more than, hey, how are you? Fine. You know, it's a struggle, isn't it, to show up at every scenario being ready to minister to people. But boy, for a lot of us, we can't miss that opportunity. We need to see those as opportunities. The body's getting together, and we need to see that. Genuinely loving the people that God has, what's the word of the morning? Already brought through the doors of the Rio. I'm like, okay, we need to reach a lost world. God's bringing visitors to the Rio every week, isn't he? Are those people being ministered to? Are they being loved? They're coming to church looking for something. Every single one of them that are walking in that door are looking for something. God is already opening the doors. People are coming in. Are we grabbing them and loving them and engaging at a heart level? And I feel like I'm totally talking to the choir here. You girls are rock stars on that. But may we continue to be that way. May we continue to you know, they're what I call freebies. The women, the people that are walking through the doors, they're freebies. We didn't even have to work for them, did we? I mean, nobody had to go out on the side of the street. Nobody had to take a meal. They just walked in our door. May we grab them and love them and embrace them. They're freebies. They're easy. And may we do a good job with that. Okay, the next one is, this is for all of us, my world, my community. Okay? There is a strong emphasis on the Great Commission around here, as there should be. God has called us to reach the lost. A heart for EP, a heart for the lost. And I feel like I've had to develop that. I feel like I've had to fan that heart to have a heart for the lost. I don't think I naturally am that way. I think I have maybe a little bit more of a heart for the believers than the lost, but God's called me to have a heart for the lost. I think about Adriana, and Adriana's kind of out doing her world, and she's just inviting everybody in the world to the Rio and talking to everybody about, do you know the Lord? And, you know, Adriana's on it, and it's from her heart. She has experienced the Lord, and she is passing that on from her heart. May I be a woman like that. May that be my heart. This is one of those areas that I find very challenging. There's several areas here I find, actually all of them, but this one I find very challenging. How to fit a heart for the lost into my world. I get it that I can go to the grocery store and I can hand them something. I get that. I get that I can do that. And I've tried different things. Just last Friday, I took Zeb and Jay's and we marched down to UTEP and I sat down with a sign that said, I will listen. Nothing much happened. I learned how to play Pokemon Go. I mean, somebody came up and told me all about that. We took pictures and talked a little bit about motherhood. Nothing much happened, but I kind of feel like I need to exercise, practice that in my life, even if it's a low-key, you know, we got bar outreach if any of us want to wake up at 1 a.m., right? And I know we have done that at seasons. Several of us have done that for seasons. We got to have a heart for that. We got to continue that. We got to trust God in our daily lives that he will open up doors in that world. Okay, so far we've got a heart for my relationship with the Lord, good deeds, that I be marked by good deeds, my heart for the church or for the Rio, and my heart for the world. We're all on board with that, right? Okay, there are a couple more areas, and these areas can be specific. They can be general. The next one I'm going to hit is children, all of us, having a heart for the children of the world. I'm going to go general, and then I'm going to go kind of as mothers, okay? So general, Stephen shared maybe 6 months ago, we were circled up here in a little ministry meeting, and he said, you guys know that 83% of people that get saved are between the ages of 4 and 14, right? I'm like, I don't think I knew that. And so your blank there is remembering the ripe, 83%. 83% of the people that get saved are between the ages of 4 and 14. Where should we be throwing our hearts and our efforts? That is an amazing statistic. And I was challenged when he said that. I was blown away. How many of you were at that meeting? Several of you were at that meeting. I don't know if you guys were like, did he just say what I think he just said? I had not got on board with that before. But I was just struck with, wow, the ripe age is not college age. The ripe age is 4 to 14. May we all remember that. There is a ripe 83%, and boy, may we invest in that. I have Sunday school tomorrow. How many of you guys have Sunday school tomorrow? We get the ripe. I guess just Holly and I? Really? You girls are all on the schedule. It must have just coordinated perfectly. Holly, you and I, we get the chance tomorrow. 83% of those kids, and you know, they're out sharing the gospel on Friday night. Stephen came in last night, and youth group was out sharing the gospel, and he said there's this chubby little, round little, cute, adorable little boy named Isaiah. Is that right, guys? Isaiah. And Isaiah came up last week, and they said, do you have a question that you want to ask about God? And he's like, no, I don't. I don't even know who God is. I've never been to church. And so Stephen said, talked to him a little bit about the Lord, gave him a tract of the gospel, told him, hey, will you read this week, and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more next week. Isaiah said, yes, I will. Isaiah came back last night, walked back up to the table. Stephen said, hey, buddy, did you read that tract? I mean, they think he's like fourth grader. What did you say? Like a little fourth grader. I'm like, where are this kid's parents? And Steve's like, all over the park. Kids abandoned, just dropped off, go play at the park. He said, if you had bad intentions, it's a playground for bad intentions. It's really sad. And he said, hey, buddy, did you read the tract? And Isaiah's like, I did. And he's like, do you have any questions about it? And he's like, I don't know. This kid's never been to church. He said, it's the first words out of his mouth, I know nothing about God. And now Stephen has, and the youth group kids have this little door into this child's heart. There's no parents anywhere. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that God might be able to snatch little Isaiah's heart and that the Lord might mark his life and just that we would have a heart for the children, making the most of every opportunity. This world needs more mothers. It's a lost, crazy world, and there are children that are hurting, and we need to be engaged and mindful of that. Okay, now let me go. I put 5B on there. So that's the children of the world, the children in our communities, the little Isaiahs at the parks. I mean, there's all kinds of opportunities. Now I'm going to talk a little bit specific about just kind of being a mom in our home and that God has called us. We need to draw our circle and invest there. And how many of you in your mothering would say, I got that check. That's being done so well. I don't even want to hear this little, don't even need to hear this little blurb, Kathleen. Anybody? Okay, we'll cover it real quick. And you gals could probably, you guys know it as well as I do, but it's all worth recovering, isn't it? It's all worth saying again. This is what God calls us to, and we know it. Where are we supposed to be busy? At home. We're supposed to be busy at home, okay? This is what God says specifically in Titus 2, and I think the verse is there. To be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home. I do a terrible job of mothering in my minivan. I don't have a minivan. I have a private bus. I do a terrible job of mothering in my private bus. I don't even know what's going on at the back. You know, I can't even see back there, right? What'd you say? No, you cannot hear them either, especially if it's an old private bus, right? You cannot hear them. And so we have got to be and establish a rhythm of being in our homes and being busy in our homes to train up our children the way God's called us to. In the next verse there, we need to be watching over the affairs of our household, not eating the bread of idleness. Wow, that's challenging, right? Proverbs 31, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Very challenging. Are you watching over the affairs of your household? If you're a mom, that's what God has called us to. The home life, being a thriving, rich place that is a haven for my people in every way. And a couple of verses there are just about God wanting our home life, that I would be a mom that is speaking wisdom, that is speaking with the, it says in another translation, in the law of kindness, that my words would have the law of kindness on them. Very challenging. I speak with wisdom, faithful instruction. Look at that last verse. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. That's the fruit we want. That's a holy ambition, isn't it? Is that a huge holy ambition? Is that any smaller than Susan B. Komen's breast cancer campaign? Is it? It's not. It's exactly what God has called me to. And may I be a woman that has the courage and faith to live in that and not look outside and want something bigger, something different, something more, something that more is in tune with my gifts and my talents. I mean, I think all of us would say, you know, how much is mothering according to your gifts and talents? Nobody, right? I mean, very few women would say that mothering is an expression of my gifts and talents. But there is a faith that we can apply there that God will use us and that will be a good thing. Okay, we're almost done. Let me see where we're at here. Okay, we're on the last one, and the last one is the husband. And I know this doesn't apply to everyone in the room, but please just bear with and hear these scriptures and let these scriptures fall into a spot that works for you, that is a good for you, whether that is what the Lord has for your future or whatever. But if the Lord has called us into marriage and the Lord has called us to unite with a husband, there is a holy ambition there. There is a circle that needs to be drawn. When I was out on the river and the Lord went bam, 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 right? He did six. This was the order very clearly that he gave me in my head. Your relationship with me, Kathleen, your relationship with Stephen is number two. It's not number three after the kids. It's number two. Your relationship with your children, good deeds, the Rio, and your community, NEP, in that order is what he gave me very, very clearly. And the Lord has been just pounding on me the last several years about being a wife. And I feel like my truth pack is several verses, several thoughts in here of what God's called us to in that. So here's a couple of thoughts. Proverbs 31:11-12 has been very challenging. You guys know this verse, but really if you go all the way with it, it's pretty intense. The heart of her husband trusts in her. That right there, pretty intense. And he will not lack anything good. She rewards him. Would your husband say that he's rewarded, that you reward him? With good, not evil, all the days of her life. Okay? So how that is translated into my life is every single day I should wake up and my heart should be to bring good to Stephen that day. Every single day I bring good to him. And that is not just, I think for many years that was just, well, yeah, I can check that one off. I did his laundry. I got at least one meal on the table. The house didn't burn down. Kids got a little bit of schooling. I just brought good to Stephen, right? And God has really pounded on me. I have more for you in that. I have a heart there that you would turn your heart to Stephen and that your heart would be to bring him good, not just out of the routine of not screwing up the routine in life, but literally bringing him good in that. I have living in oneness with, cross out Stephen and put your guy, okay? Living in oneness. Okay, let's talk about those words, okay? God calls us to be one, right, with our husbands. We know that, right? That they are no longer two, but they're one. If you think about those three words, living in oneness, what's that mean? And I think that's very challenging because I think in the Christian culture, we can see a lot of people having two parallel lives. Two lives, they're kind of in harmony. There's not a lot of conflict, maybe a little bit, but she's doing her thing. He's doing his thing. They're both walking, and at the end of the day, they connect. They catch up, right? And that is a lot of life. That's a lot of daily routine. Okay? So then, and the verse I got from that, I don't know if I have it on there. Oh, I don't. Philippians 2:2. Does someone want to grab that for me? Does anyone have a Bible? Oh, you have your phones. Sure. Get your phone, somebody. Somebody get your phone. Philippians 2:2. Okay? okay? Living in oneness with Stephen, this is what it's come down to for me. One heart, one vision, one voice. Not two voices, not, well, Mama says it this way, and Daddy says it this way, and, you know, Mommy has her own little innuendos and words. No, one voice, okay? One vision for every single day. Wake up, what's your vision, honey? What do you have for today? I try to ask Steve, what's on your heart today? And half the time he's like, I have no idea what is on my heart today. Do you have anything on your heart? I'm like, don't ask, you know, but one heart, one vision, one voice every day, trying to wake up and live in that. And that takes a real intentional approach, doesn't it? To have one heart, one vision, one voice. Does someone have Philippians 2:2? Yeah, go, Bethy. Okay, so a couple things there. One purpose, one mind. Do you have the same mind as your husband? Another word in there, same love, the same love as your husband. So those are all really challenging, aren't they? And if you're a mom at home with littles, that's pretty challenging because, you know, you got a whole bunch already on your own plate. And then, Kath, you're telling me to stick him on there too in this kind of intentional way. And I think that's what God's calling us to be in step with that. I think about, do you guys know what it means to walk with someone in step? You know, so like you're both, and you can only hear one set of steps, right? Well, more than half of my married life, you can hear two sets of steps. Me like this and Stephen walking very casually. And it's like, I've even thought about that in my head. It's like, we're supposed to be in step. If we're walking down the hallway, the kids should not hear two sets of steps. One heart, one voice, one vision, in step. Very challenging, isn't it? Very challenging. So those were the areas that the Lord gave me. And the reason that this was so helpful to me was this is a full plate, isn't it? This is a huge full plate. If you go home and you engage with all of these areas, you've got a huge plate of how it applies to your world and what God has for your world to live in all of that. And what the Lord really impressed on my heart was living this out, what I've already, that's the word of the morning, already called you to, is my holy ambition for you. That is it. It's already in the scripture. I've already laid it out. And if something changes, I'll let you know, Kathleen. But until then, you walk in these things. There's nothing small about this. There's nothing limiting. It's full. It's challenging. It takes tons of faith to step into it. And it takes tons of faith to stay in it, doesn't it? To stay in it year after year in the ebb and flow of life and the challenges of life. To stay in the heart of this. So living out all that God has already called me and you to is his holy ambition for our life. So that's what I had to share. And I think we have a little bit, right? We have a little bit of time. Maybe I'll just take a few minutes and I'll just sit down and you can just process a little bit. And then maybe we could just share a little bit or questions or comments or whatever. But I'll just take a few minutes here and I'll time myself so I do it.